Corporation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Yes, sir, we promised you a great...
Gorgeous, George.
Here Pretty Blassie, the maker of...
Andre, the Giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
place. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
WrestleMania.
You are fucking...
Welcome to the No Disqualifications Podcast. I'm Adrian.
My name's Laszlo.
No rules.
No filter.
No disqualifications. Back again, and we are covering Vengeance Day 2022.
Hey, that's this year.
That is this year. We got some news for you guys. We've been doing things chronologically for a while, and we're breaking it up. We're going to record what we would like to record. And there's nothing wrong with the year 2002. But
we left 20 years ago, for Christ, crying out loud, right?
We want to mix it up. I mean, we want to review current product, maybe product from 2010, 11. We just want to be able to mix it up a little more. So that's what we're going to do with Vengeance Day, which took place on February 15th, 2022, Orlando, Florida, in the Performance Center. Let's just get into the show here.
Let's do it.
We have Pete Dunne versus Tony D'Angelo in a weaponized cage match. Laz, this is your first time you've ever seen Tony D'Angelo.
That is true.
And what are your opinions on Mr. Tony D'Angelo? I'm curious.
I grew up with guys like that from New Jersey. I'm not kidding. There's the muscles, maybe not the Godfather hat, but, you know, the bravado, the swag.
The tracksuits?
Yes. Or like coming to school in what's referred to as a wife beater. Like no joke, and being told that they had to cover up, and then freaking out and like trying to fight the teacher. I've seen all this.
What's the big idea?
Hey, what's going on over here? I don't hate guys like that, but I don't like guys like that either. It's just there's a
I think something that the thing about like I guess stereotypical like I guess Italian Guido culture, right? It's like. If you watch Nightmare on Elm Street, slow throwback, the original, not the remake. I know you had a topic about that one, but
I enjoyed the remake.
Rod, when he's getting an argument with Lisa, he goes, "Hey, up your nose with a rubber hose." Right. Whenever I think of like Italian people, I think of stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just John Travolta.
Hey, your mother's a terrible cook.
Bun.
Burn.
Disco Inferno, yeah.
Hey.
Which, by the way, if you go back and watch Saturday Night Fever, that movie's dark.
Yeah, it is
so dark. I didn't know it was.
But it's a good movie.
I didn't know it was dark.
Which is weird. I'm not into the
people falling off bridges. And
it was a joke, but
he fell off a bridge. He died.
Who did?
In the movie, he falls off the
Josh
bridge.
Josh Travolta.
No, the other dude falls off the bridge
You're
and
right.
dies.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the girl got essayed in the car.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff that happens, and John Travolta, pretty sure, did that.
You can't go saying that.
In the movie, he did that.
Oh, yeah.
I went to church at Scientology after me. They hear everything. But back to this match.
The laptop that we're recording on right now.
They know.
They know everything.
They made the laptop. Pete Dunne immediately hits an enziguri right away. And we learned the definition of enziguri just a few weeks ago, and I forgot it. But enziguri, it's, I think the Guri is like kick, and ends is like to the medulla oblongata.
So medulla oblongata kick.
Yeah. And then after he kicks him, he just like whips him into the cage. He throws because there's weapons attached to the cage, so he whips him into the cage and he hits the steel the trash can lid on the cage, and then he whips another side. While Tony D'Angelo's laying there, he grabs a steel chair, and he cracks it across his back.
It breaks,
and the chair shatters. And Tony D'Angelo just like a schlup he takes down Pete Dunne, and then he hits like a Falcon's arrow on top of a trash can.
Bends it all the heck.
And then he pulls out the kendo stick.
He kicked out the kempo stick and starts swinging it. He gave him, I can promise, he was wearing a singlet, but homeboy had a huge welt after that. That was like, he really hit him.
Now this is a moment that pops you, I believe. It's when he pulls out the toolbox. He's reaching in, Pete Dunne slams it back down on his hand and then does a double stomp on
it. Double stomp on the thing, which, I mean, look, it's wrestling. It's predetermined. That would, you would have lost your fingers if you do that. I have a toolbox like that. And if someone jumps, yeah, you would have lost all your fingers.
They proceed to stick a wrench, socket wrench, I think.
It was just a regular old wrench.
Wraps it around his finger, bends his hand back, and then stomps on his elbow, which I thought was just, it's a good spot. It's always a spot I've liked. Then Tony D'Angelo suplexes Pete Dunne. D'Angelo's on the top rope. Dunne's laid out from the top of the cage, suplexes him into the ring again, which was once again a good spot. There's a lot of people that detract from Tony D'Angelo, but as I told you when the match started, I think he's just as fluid as a lot of the guys that wrestling. I think he's good. I think he's a good performer.
Tony D'Angelo?
Yeah. Of course, Pete Dunne, you can't say enough about him. He's great.
The what do they call him? The Boston Brawler or whatever?
The Bruiserweight.
The Bruiserweight. That's such a dope name. Because Cruiserweight is the smaller guys who do the flips and that acrobatic stuff. But he's the Bruiserweight because he's like a legit bare knuckle.
And that's what, so when they did a UK tournament, they called it the Bruiserweight tournament. And it was all just UK guys. It was hard hitting.
That's badass.
And something that's dope that Pete Dunne does, he takes both of his fists and like puts them against his jaw and does like the grimace. He used to, instead of the belt around his waist, carry the belt strapped in his mouth and do that. He just looks sick. He's dope. And he was a little bit of a puffier guy. He went away, changed to like a vegan diet, came back, slimmed down faster. Crazy how that works.
It is crazy how that works. I don't know how much into veganism I'd be. Vegetarianism, whatever they call it. I like meat.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. If you want to slim down, go plant-based, obviously. And cardio.
Yeah, paleo, or, you know.
And it's cardio. That's okay. Cardio if you don't want to.
Pete Dunne gets his hands zip-tied behind his back. And there's this really dope moment here where Pete Dunne's, he's still kicking Tony D'Angelo's ass, but with no hands. He gets him in a triangle choke for a minute. And it shifts from a triangle choke to what you think is about to be a power bomb into the corner. But then he drops down and puts him in a basic choke hold, right? Front face lock. And he grapevines him. And the only way for him to get out of it is if he snips
the zip ties.
The zip ties, yes. Which I told you, it's not that's a logical move.
That's it. It's just logical wrestling. I mean, as crazy as like a weaponized cage can be,
this was logical.
Yeah,
and this is what people claim for. Like, oh, let me get some wrestling that is a little real. Okay, well, you know, they gave you a little bit of realism. Is it real to wrestle in a weaponized cage? Not particularly, but it's a realism we're asking for right now. So he does that, and that was pretty dope. And then, like you said, he got powerbombed through the – Tony D'Angelo gets powerbombed through the table in the corner. He kicks out at two. So Pete Dunne gets him up, and he hits him with the bitter end. 4-2. So Pete Dunne's finish. D'Angelo kicks out of Pete Dunne's finish. And then Tony D'Angelo hits a forget about it, which is a spinning suplex, like a spinning fisherman suplex. 4-2 as well. And this is something that's pretty dope. He cracks him with the back of a wiffle bat.
That's a cricket bat.
Cricket bat, sorry. Wiffle bat is plastic.
Correct.
And then after he does that, he hits another bitter end onto the remnants of the table for the win. I really did enjoy this. I gave it a 4.
I give it a 4. This was an interesting match. I do like the more extreme wrestling. I don't like the murder matches or whatever they call it.
Like Nick Gage.
I don't. I'm not into that. How over the top can we get? But when there are weapons involved, I think that's just cool, man. And it's wrestling. You know, it's wrestling. And you hit a guy with a crowbar. You hit him. You bring a chair over his head. I love that stuff, man. 4 belts.
Absolutely. What do you think I feel like you should ask this more often, but what do you think would add to this match to get to that 5? To me, this match went 9 minutes. I think more time would have done it well.
It would have added to it.
I think the innovation was great.
More kickouts, like, you know what I mean, to get the crowd.
Build the false finishes up, yeah.
Yeah, that's the single, the one fall matches, that was whatever that move was.
Bitter end, yeah. More build up, I think. More time helps. More, like I said, more false finishes. Innovation was great. It just needed some more. I guess some more suspense.
I like when they stand each other up and talk to each other. That's great for the storytelling aspect of it all. You know.
Next, we have for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championship, we have Toxic Attraction, which is JC Jane, I think is her name, and Gigi Dolin, the champions, versus Persia Parada and Indy Hartwell. What are your thoughts about these ladies here? I told you I'm personally a big fan of Indy Hartwell, but this is the first full Toxic Attraction match I've ever seen. This is the first Persia Parada match I've ever seen. Of course, Toxic Attraction is attractive.
They were all attractive girls, so, as far as wrestlers go. I let it be known now, I'm not a fan of ladies wrestling. There's a few who move me, but even a tag match, I'm not a huge fan of the women's wrestling, and it's just it's different than men's.
Yeah.
It
just didn't move me. I understand that. Toxic Attraction early on attacks and hits two stereo super kicks, which was kind of nice.
This is before the belly break.
Yeah, and then they did their sentons. One goes off one side, one goes off the other side, which was a cool spot.
That was
a cool match. Indy comes in and she's on fire for a little while. Mandy Rose interferes and she gets ejected pretty quick. Then Persia stacks up both members of Toxic Attraction on her shoulders for a Samoan drop.
That was a badass move. That kind of thing. I was like, get it, girl. I mean, like, you know, to be able to carry two other girls, give or take your size, on your back.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then we have, after that, Toxic Attraction does, which is like a high low. One does a big boot, one does a sweep of the legs for the win. I mean, I give it three. I thought the opening of it was pretty quick, and I think the wrong woman took the pin.
Okay. Well,
I think Persia Parada, who is, I would say, the less talented of the two, should take the pin. But nonetheless, I gave it a three.
I gave it a two. You know,
I hear Toxic Attraction is really good. I do plan on going back and watching NXT 2.0 and getting a feel for the show. I've heard a lot of people say it's garbage, so I didn't really invest too much into it, but I'm going to now.
No, I enjoyed this whole show.
I'm going to get back into the show, and now that we're not watching strictly chronological wrestling, I can kind of jump around.
But this is an ODQ podcast. No filters,
no
rules, no qualifications, and we can watch what we want.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And the fans love us.
They do love us. I have people who say, hey,
you guys
I love
are great.
It. Normally it's my mom, but like nonetheless, it's still love.
And my mom too. She likes it. She goes, I don't know how to stream it. And I'm like, you don't stream it. You just don't play it. Never mind.
All you gotta do is say, start the first episode and just stream all the way through. You're gonna listen to them. Just let them play so we get the listens.
Exactly.
Well, hey, by the way, make sure you go to the Apple Podcast. Leave us 5 stars. We try to get equality. It takes literally like 5 seconds to do that. But hey, if you want to do something extra, help us out a little bit. Help us feed our kids. Leave a comment, leave a review, make sure it's favorable. If it's not favorable, just DM me. But if it is favorable, make sure you leave a review and leave us 5 stars. Also on Spotify, you can now rate podcasts as well. So give us 5 stars on Spotify as well.
Like that.
Appreciate y'all. Next, we have a LA Knight and a Grayson Waller moment. Grayson Waller's out here with the police. He's saying, look, I have a restraining order against LA Knight. He's dangerous. I've had anxiety. I can't sleep at night. It's his fault. He attacked me. It's all on him. And then LA Knight's like, whoa, that's bogus. I can show you footage
of you attacking,
me. So he shows him attacking me, and he's like, this restraining order doesn't mean anything. You broke the restraining order. And then it's really pretty funny. Grayson Waller's like, whoa, in Australia, it's one way. It's if I can hit you as much as I want, but you can't hit me. That's how it works in Australia. And he's like, oh, well, and he looks at the police. He goes, is that not how that works? And the police are like, nah, but we're out. And they're like, the police leave him.
Yeah.
And then he gets jumped by LA Knight. And they say next week we're going to have LA Knight and Grayson Waller. I mean, that's all that was. It was a segment that was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was all right. LA Knight talks a little bit too much, like Stone Cold for my taste. You know,
did you mention that? And I see it. I hear it.
Yeah, he has a Stone Cold twang to him, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, everyone kind of, you always are going to show signs of someone you look up to. So, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, there's people that talk with the cadence of The Rock, or they talk with the cadence of John Cena, and some people wrestle with the cadence and talk and have the mannerisms of Eddie Guerrero. It's just how wrestling is. Wrestling is people pick off other people to create who they are, and that's the beauty of it all, because everyone's, you're a melting pot of your influence. So LA Knight was a melting pot of, you know, Stone Cold and a little bit of Rock in there. He even wears the single vest like Stone Cold. So it is what it is, and that's kind of
a ripoff, though. I mean,
people would argue. People would say Cora Jade's a ripoff of, you know, Cora Jade is, but she said Cora Jade's a ripoff of Darby Allin because they both have skateboards. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
Cora Jade wasn't accused of sexual harassment, so whatever.
But he was.
Yeah.
By who?
Some like other female wrestler. Right. I mean, there's wrestlers. I mean, Matt Riddle was accused. But then Matt Riddle was like, no, we hooked up. It was consensual. I was married. She got mad.
Aha.
So, I mean, there's stuff like
the
that.
Plot thickens.
There's stuff like that out there. But, of course, you know, life goes on. Some people do blatantly copy other gimmicks. I mean, Ric Flair copied the Nature Boy thing. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers.
Yeah.
You know, Hulk Hogan basically copied not just the Body Ventura. There's some dude, I can't remember his name now.
Jesus, Nick Rogers.
No, God, no, don't copy him. But he copied a some dude before him. Superstar Billy Graham. You know, people copy people. The Big Show came in as the Giant. He wore a singlet, like Andre the Giant.
That's right.
They told people that he was the son of Andre the Giant. People
I thought
copy,
he was for a minute.
People copy people, you know? It's kind of how it is. But that's the beauty of wrestling. You take someone else's gimmick and you kind of make it your own. So it is what it is.
What does NXT stand for? Does that just mean next?
Next, yeah.
Okay.
Being like the next great stars. Next, we have Carmelo Hayes, Cameron Grimes, North American Championship. What?
This was a
match.
Great match.
We need to say right. What a match. Honestly, what a match. I wasn't the biggest fan of Cameron Grimes in the beginning of like when he debuted, but he's grown on me. I was watching Carmelo Hayes a little bit when he was Christian Casanova. That was his name, Christian Casanova.
How many alter egos do these guys recycle through, man? It's
I mean, Cameron Grimes, what's really good, you go from indie when you're an indie talent to when you get to the WWE, and they give you a name change sometimes. I mean, Johnny Gargano wasn't Gargano before. I think he was Johnny Wrestling. That was
Johnny Wrestling. Yeah, first time I was introduced to was Johnny Wrestling.
Alan Cole's always been Alan Cole, that's basically, you know. Tommaso Ciampa, I think, has always been Tommaso Ciampa. Aleister Black, his name used to be Tommy End. With Tommy End, Aleister Black, now it's Malakai Black.
That's
bad. He used to be Christian Casanova. Cameron Grimes used to be Trevor Lee. People have different names. MSK, their tag team used to be called the Rascals. And they come out and do the whole little Rascals thing. And it was those two and Trey Miguel. And, you know, we're not super PG in the podcast, but MSK stands for Mother Effing Stoner Kids.
Stunner?
Stoner.
Really?
Yeah. Matt Riddle was like their, they called him his shaman.
Uh-huh.
They said they went to the mountaintop and they were able to get high with him, but they're like alluding to, we went to the mountaintop with the climb guy. We got high with him and now we feel enlightened. We're back to ourselves.
Bro.
Yeah. But this match, man, equal footing really into the beginning. Cameron Grimes hits that big back body drop, and I told you about that. Like, when you land feet first and then you go back, it always seems like it's way worse.
It probably makes more noise so it sounds better.
Yeah.
But still.
But Trick Williams, which is Carmelo Hayes' his manager, he interferes here. And Carmelo Hayes gains control, gets an enziguri, and he hits a fadeaway, which is pretty dope. Crossbody backflip by Cameron Grimes, which is one of the most outlandish and impressive moves I've ever seen in wrestling. Where dude's running for a crossbody, and Cameron Grimes does a moonsault while he has him in the crossbody.
That's crazy.
And basically, I mean, body slams him. It's so insane. I can't make sense of it, but I love it. There's a moment here. Tilted World slide slam by Cameron Grimes. Poison Rana. He's going to hit the cave-in, which is a double stomp. Like, he runs, and you'll be standing up, and he runs and puts his feet on your upper chest, shoulders, and stomps down. He calls it the cave-in. And
it's like the coup de grace.
He's going to do it to Carmelo on the outside, and then Trick Williams pushes Carmelo out of the way and takes it. So Trick Williams is taken out. Big crossbody for two by Carmelo here. And then there's the top rope leg drop to the back of the head by Carmelo Hayes to regain the championship in a match. Matt, give it four. It was close to a five.
It was almost a five, though. Yeah. There were, the risk that these men and women put their bodies in is you got to admire it. I mean, you know, there's, yeah, this was a hell of a really athletic. A lot of cruiserweight action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not cruiserweights. Leg drops from the top rope. It was crazy.
The only thing that kept it away from a five for me. I like that we are distinguished from a rare four. Like, hey, what would make this a five? The only thing that keeps this away from like a five is just the outside interference.
Yeah, that bothers me.
Give me these two in a ladder match. Give me these two in a cage.
The ladder match.
Just completely isolated. Just imagine, no interference, how great that would be. It'd
be fantastic. That would be a great match.
Nonetheless, we carry on. We have the Dusty Classic Finals. We have MSK versus the Creed Brothers here. MSK does this. They're always so good, and they're so quick, especially with their kicks. They do like a kick combination to start off, and they hit a stomp. Lee hits this really nice dive, which... These guys are—they're the future of the tag team division. They really are.
In NXT,
they're so good. I could see them going on to the main roster and giving Street Profits or New Day run for their money. As far as just pure athleticism,
New Day.
I don't think. I mean, I'm not saying in greatness, but I don't know. Maybe Kofi, but Big E is not keeping up with them.
They got
so much speed behind them.
Yeah.
The only people I think that could keep up speed-wise, I could see Xavier Woods keeping up. Kofi, of course.
Sure.
Montez Ford for the Street Profits.
And smaller.
And the Usos.
Yeah.
But they're so quick and they're so good. And I think they'll get a solid main roster run when the time comes. But he runs and does a dive. He goes over the turnbuckle. And he just sends outside. They do this dope. I love it so much. It's where he does the moonsault and he gets pushed.
I love that.
So they do that ringside.
They do that America's Next Top Dance crew.
Jabberwockies?
Yeah.
And the Jabberwockies. These guys could be Jabberwockies. They could have been Jabberwockies. Maybe they were Jabberwockies.
You never know.
I mean, I would want to be a Jabberwockie. That's off topic, though. Nonetheless, that happens on the outside. I just want to talk about the Creed Brothers. I think they're a great package. I think they're great. They have a good look. I think the collegiate wrestling gimmick that they got going on is nice. I like how they're more ground and pound.
They go for the technical takedowns. They slide it on the front knee and all that. And they wear the singlets. I think that's what you call them.
Yeah. There's a nice moment where Wesley is pounced off the apron and lands on the announce table. That was pretty nice. Nash Carter hits a senton, and then afterwards.
Senton's the back foot, right?
Senton's the front foot, Swanton.
Okay.
And then Wesley hits the spiral tap, which is
hell
wicked.
Yeah, so wicked.
He hits that for two. There's a huge spine buster on the outside to Nash Carter. And then, you know, here's something that – so sometimes I go back and I watch like AWA or like the old Smoky Mountain. I watch the old school wrestling.
Yeah.
Or like a finishing move sometimes would be like a power bomb, you know, like something like that. And this finish move where he sits up Nash Carter, he bounces off the ropes, takes off, and just murders him with a clothesline. That's a good finish move.
Yeah.
It's something I think brings in believability when it comes to pro wrestling. Where, yeah, if I hit you with this, if we're in a fight and I run and I give you like a stiff forearm, inside forearm, underneath the chin, I'm probably going to knock you out.
Yeah, you're going to, or at least you're going to land on your back.
And you'll at least be down for 3 seconds.
What was that?
Exactly. And I like the realism they throw in there. I give this match 4, man.
I gave it 4, too. We're agreeing on everything tonight. We have nothing to argue about right now, or, you know, the rest of the show. The MGK, you need to watch out for them.
I can see Creed Brothers doing something.
I like the collegiate style, the actual Greco-Roman. Mm-hmm. All they're missing are the ear protectors.
Do you think that'd be too much?
Maybe if one of them did.
One wears ear protector?
Yeah. I think that'd be cool.
I can support that.
But yeah, 4 bells, man. There was that spiral tap. That's insane. The athleticism always blows me away in pro wrestling. Every single time.
And then afterwards, we have Imperium comes out. They basically declare, hey, we're going to come for those tag titles. We see basically like, hey, yeah, we see the Creed Brothers won. We're ready when you're ready. They're kind of putting them on, giving them a warning there. And then Gunther, he says, look, I'm keeping an eye on that world championship match too. So they're kind of shooting a shot. They're putting it out there saying, hey, like, I'm keeping an eye. It is what it is, you know. And then Solo Sikoa, which is Uso's brother.
He looks like him.
Yeah, he looks like him. He comes out and he's like, hey, man, where I'm from, we don't talk. We fight. I'm a Gunther. I'm going to whoop your ass next week. Pull up on me, whatever. And he kind of walks away because all of them kind of walk up on him. He walks away. So we lead to that for next week. But before we get to our main event, here's a brief word from our sponsors. What a sponsor. That's great.
Great sponsor.
Next up, though, we have our main event, Santos Escobar versus Braun Breaker for the NXT Championship. You'll notice Santos Escobar wearing Eddie Guerrero-inspired gear. If you've seen Eddie Guerrero's forearm tattoo, it's the cross with like the what's it, thorns wrapped around it with the fire,
the flames.
Yes, that he has it on his tights. I think Eddie used to wear it back in the day as well on his tights.
The purple.
It pops. It really is nice gear. Escobar is working over on Homeboy's nose, on Braun Breaker's nose. They make a big point about the fact that Braun Breaker is like, he's got breathing issues. He got hit in the nose, and he's working on his neck, and it's really a bit of back and forth. But Escobar kind of isolates him and gets on the outside and works him over on the outside a little bit. There's not a whole lot of notes I particularly have for this match until we get to the final moments of the match, because it's the best part of the match, in my personal opinion. So each part of Legado del Fantasma, they start jumping up on the aprons, distracting. So one jumps up, distracts, and I think her name's Electra Lopez. She jumps up, by the way, hot. She jumps up, she's distracting, and when she turns around, when Braun Breaker turns around, Dolph Ziggler super kicks
Dolph
shit
Ziggler?
At her. Yeah. Because he popped out in NXT and he was like, I can win a title here. He has a bunch of, like, this is like the puppy mill. You guys suck. So he super kicks the shit out of Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker's, and he selling it good too. As much as you feel about Dolph Ziggler, he can perform.
He can go.
He puts the boots to his face. Santos comes in. It's 1, 2. Kick out, like it's 2.8, 2.9.
I thought
the crowd was hype.
Yeah.
Because they want Santos to win. They like Braun Breaker, but they love Santos Escobar. Almost like Eddie Guerrero. I believe Santos Escobar is what people wanted Andrade to be. And Santos Escobar can speak English fluently, I think.
Andrade cannot?
No. Okay. His speed's lying. My name is Andrade. Hey.
That's about it.
Yeah. Oh, I can't
do rest.
Yeah.
Do lucha stuff?
Lucha. I can't do lucha things. And he walks up. Shit. Stupid. No, he hit a super kick for 2.9, and then Dolph Ziggler was losing it. Shit, I was like screaming, kicking around, pissed off, because he thought, you know, he was like, finally got the title off of Braun Breaker. He didn't like Braun Breaker. Then Tommaso Ciampa comes back out, and Tommaso Ciampa's beat the shit out of Ziggler, and they fight out into the crowd.
While this is going on,
Bron Breakker grabs Santos by the throat, picks him up for a military press, and then just drops him into a power slam for the win. That was the match. Despite me not having a lot of notes on it, it does not take away about how good this match was. It was really good. Santos, I mean, he's had suicide dives. He looked brutal. He looked like a star. And if they treat him right, he could be – I'm not saying he'll be Eddie Guerrero, but he will be remembered as one of the great Hispanic wrestling stars. Yes.
Wrestlers.
He'll be known as one of the greats for sure.
I agree.
No doubt about it, because he just has that look about him. He has the skill and he has the look about him. And in this match, you know, for being Bron Breakker's, I think his first title defense was a really, really good one. So no complaints for me on this match. But man, I just can't get across how much Santos oozes. He really oozes charisma. And Bron Breakker is a solid powerhouse. And
he's a beast boy.
People doubted him, but he is a good he's going to be a great champion. He's proved that with this match. I gave it 4. Sugar, what'd you give it?
I gave it 4.
All right.
We're agreeing on everything tonight.
It's a solid show, and when you have a solid show, it's easy to agree.
NXT, man.
It's such a good show.
I'm not calling it amateurish because it's not. We've been to amateur shows.
Yeah.
And it's not that. But, man, this is like a lot of these guys deserve to be on the main roster.
Yeah. It's always just a matter of, do people believe main roster will treat them well? That's the big thing.
Yeah.
People that go to main roster and you know, they're great in NXT, they go to main roster and it doesn't translate. And I'm always the belief, you know, sometimes it's Vince's fault. Sometimes it's the talent's fault. Austin Theory was booked decent in NXT. Austin Theory. He came to the main roster. And he was the elimination champion with Brock Lesnar.
Oh man!
You know, and he was the final person in there with Brock Lesnar. Yeah,
you're not beating Brock Lesnar.
No. But and I mean, he had like a fantastic match with AJ Styles. Yeah, amazing. He fought Big E for the WWE Championship.
Oh,
because Austin Theory realizes it's not creative's job to get me over. I have to get over.
Yeah.
I mean, there's success stories from people, and this is a bit of a tangent, but nonetheless, we're here.
Here we are.
There are NXT stars who have made that transition to the main roster and have done well for themselves. I'll give you some right now. Sasha Banks was an NXT star. She'll go down as one of the greatest female wrestlers of all time.
Facts.
Charlotte Flair was in NXT.
She's one of the
I don't like her, but the facts are the facts.
Yeah.
Bayley was NXT.
Bayley was great.
Becky was NXT.
Man.
Asuka was NXT.
Really?
And did she get like a really like dominant title? Not particularly, but she nonetheless she's accomplished it. I think she's like a 3 or 4-time champion.
She's better, dude.
Big E was NXT.
I didn't know.
Xavier Woods was NXT. Seth Rollins, NXT. Roman Reigns, NXT.
Was Finn Balor ever in the main roster?
Finn Balor was NXT. He went to the main roster. He won the Universal Championship within the first 2 or 3 weeks of being there. He had a shoulder injury, so he had to relinquish the title. Went back down to NXT. He's bounced back and forth. He's done well for himself.
Yeah.
Is he the main champion? No, but he's done well for himself. Seth Rollins was NXT. He's done countless things. There's so many talent that have been NXT and have gone to the main roster and done so well. Yeah, of course, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura has never won a WWE championship. But you can't say that he's not a success because he hasn't done those things. If he's happy where
he's
at. He's
got long hair, right? That's
yeah.
Okay.
If he's happy where he's at, then he's happy where he's at. That's what people don't understand. Okay, yeah, Finn Balor might not be the WWE champion right now. Maybe he wants it. But he could be happy being with the company doing what he's doing. People don't think about that. Maybe people are happy doing what they're doing. The same people that bitch about how AEW treats Adam Cole are the same people that will sit here and be like, oh, well, this guy's getting treated right, but this guy's getting treated wrong, and Adam Cole's not being treated right. Adam Cole's being, you know, he's not getting the main title push and all that kind of stuff like that. He should, you know, these are all the people that are saying, I want Adam Cole to go to AEW. You know, when Adam Cole goes there, oh, he's not being treated right.
Right.
Maybe he's happy. Does it matter? If they're happy, it doesn't matter.
Adam Cole's the one who's a vicious on the mic, right?
Yeah.
He's being treated just fine. I mean,
there's so many people that just because, and then there's people that go to the main roster and maybe they don't get treated right. Or maybe they don't get over either. Karrion Kross. I don't have anything against Karrion Kross, but I think to get over, you got to get over. And people were booing him when he showed up.
Really?
He would come out and people would just be bothered. People were sitting on their hands. Really good shit. Keith Lee. I like Keith Lee.
Yeah.
But supposedly, Keith Lee had backstage attitude issues.
That doesn't surprise
me. And then Keith Lee, you know, WWE caught, like, they found out that he had a heart condition, and WWE caught it. And then they have a protocol where they take care of you, you know? And Keith Lee says, oh, no, I paid for all my medical bills. WWE says, that's false. We paid for your shit. We got receipts.
Whoa.
But he wants to, you know, get you back about it. That's, you have to take self-responsibility on if you're going to get over it. WWE didn't decide Stone Cold was going to get over. Stone Cold decided Stone Cold was getting over. John Cena decided John Cena was going to get over.
It's with the attitude.
You decide you were going to be popular. You were going to get over with the fans. Kevin Owens has gotten over the fans. People say, man, Kevin Owens is not in the title scene. Kevin Owens is doing this. Kevin Owens is doing that. Kevin Owens signed like a 5-year contract for like multiple millions of dollars.
I don't think
Kevin Owens gives a shit. Yeah. Kevin Owens is making money. AJ Styles here is like, man, AJ Styles won't win a championship. He's just putting over young talent. Well, you know what?
So what?
AJ Styles just signed like another 5-year contract with them. And he said, I'm going to retire with them because I'm happy where I am. And when I get retired from entering, I'm going to work backstage because I love being here.
AJ Styles gets the cover of video games. I mean, come on. He's a huge star. I know who he is.
It's just, people are going to blame. But people are gonna say what they're gonna say. At the end of the day, people are gonna say what they're gonna say.
Yeah.
NXT gives you the opportunity to build your character, to build your in-ring work, and then when you get to the main roster, it's sink or swim. You get over if you can get over. If you can't get over, then maybe you either go back to NXT or work somewhere else. That's just out of
fact.
Let's get to our awards.
Let's go.
Match of the night, I think we'll both agree here. Carmelo Hayes versus Cameron Grimes.
MSK versus the Greed Brothers.
Oh, shoot. All right.
The athleticism is because of MSK.
Yes. MSK is great. And the Greed Brothers are a good foil. It's good to have a good foil for when you have a fast tag team. It's good to have someone that's
slower. The athleticism of half of MSK. You know, at least.
Yeah.
The back and forth and like the willingness to put your body at risk with these people. Astounds me. Because I'm 40 and we messed around in wrestling and stuff, and we have a crash mat and everything. And John Z. Hatfield, who might listen to this, might not, one time threw me over his hip and body slammed me, and I got hurt. I couldn't walk for days. So if you don't know what you're doing, bro.
Yeah.
This is and like a backflip off the top rope onto the floor from the, come on, that's dangerous, and these guys nail it. They're not an indie show. This isn't a second rate production. It's just not. And MSK, they're kids you got to watch out for.
Absolutely. And I stick with the, you know, Hayes and Grimes. Hayes is absolutely gonna be the future. I can see Grimes doing great things as well. It just depends on how much potential they see in him. But Hayes has the look.
Crazy.
He has the charisma. He has an in-ring skill. He will be a WWE or Universal Champion. Cameron Grimes, I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't have the – I guess I would say probably his thing is not the look, I guess. But he – Intercontinental Champion, United States Champion, Tag Champion. Shoot, he can stay in NXT and win that championship.
Yeah.
It's just kind of based off his appearance. And that's not to be nasty or rude about it. It's just when they marketed talent, they want talent to look a certain way, and it just doesn't look a certain way. So it is what it is. Nonetheless, these two guys coming. I want to see another match between these two guys. I want to see these two guys go out and have a cage match, a ladder match.
Ladder match would be great.
I want to see more from these two guys.
Pete Dunne versus Tony D'Angelo was a close second for me.
Yeah, it's hard. It's this classic saying, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because both of these matches, all these matches were, no match was atrocious.
No.
It wasn't like, oh, shield my eyes, this sucks. Nothing was that bad.
It was a good show.
You're in a situation where it's like, when you pick the worst match, you pick the best, you're picking the best of the best. If you're picking the worst, you're just picking the least of the best. The least best out of the group, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Right.
What is your worst match in that? Or I guess you say your least best in that.
The Toxic Attraction versus Indy
Hartwell and Persia Parada.
Yeah.
I picked the same one, yeah.
That didn't grab me.
It wasn't nothing, there was nothing inherently wrong with the match. It just wasn't.
But it wasn't up to par with the rest of the matches.
Yeah, that's what we say, least of the best in this situation. There's some matches where, there's some cards that we look at and we're like, oh no, that match was the worst of the night.
Right.
That match with Poo Salad. This wasn't that. It was just middle of the line.
And then a curtain jerker like that, you're going to follow that? You're going to follow Pete Dunne and Tony D'Angelo? That was a great match.
Yeah, this is just one of those matches where it just didn't do enough to grab. It didn't give you, it's anything to whet your appetite. Or is that what's your appetite? It would nothing satiate. There's so many different types of ways to say it, but it just didn't pull you in.
Didn't grab
it. No. Didn't do anything new. Didn't reinvent the wheel. But nonetheless, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't as up to par. MVP of the night.
What's the one kid from the MSK? What was his name?
Black guy?
Yeah.
Wesley
from MSK.
Wesley. Yeah.
So Wes.
And I think this is something they talked about. Was Wesley and Nash Carter, and their names are Nash and Carter. Is Carter Lee, like Rush Hour?
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Hell yeah.
He was my
star that I was starting with.
For sure.
I'm going to give it to Carmelo Hayes.
That's a good one.
Great performance. He has that look, man. When he did drop the A down and looked at the camera, he knows how to eat up the scenery.
Chew up the scenery. Okay.
That's what they say for actors. You really chew up the scenery.
You can't take your eyes off him when he's going. That's true, but he has to have. I don't think he needs three people in the ring with him when he walks out. I don't know how I feel about that, but whatever. If they're on a contract and they get a big collective paycheck for that, do it. You know.
Hell yeah. Who's your least valuable player?
I don't want to pick on any of the girls, man. I don't want them to think I love women. I'm not a misogynist, and I like women's wrestling to an extent. But there was not a whole heck of a lot happened in the women's tag team match. So like that match was just like, that's one again. It was, I followed a curtain jerker like that, but it was, that was my least favorite match, my least favorite performers. I guess we'll say Toxic Attraction.
Okay. I give it to Persia Parada.
See?
She didn't necessarily do anything wrong, you know? She was kind of like the least, you know, the least favorite match or least best match. It's just like she didn't do anything. I was like, wow, that's really good. Like, Indy Hartwell, I think, is really good. She has a strong work ethic in the least. I mean, she seems believable as a wrestler. I'm not saying Persia doesn't, but sometimes she seems a little clunky. She had that double stack Samoan drop, and that was nice.
That was quite a spot.
But it just wasn't, oh my gosh, this girl's doing something different. This girl's excelling. And I mean, Toxic Attraction wasn't doing anything special really either.
She had both those girls on her shoulders. That's a lot of power.
I
don't know if I could do that.
I would either give it to Persia, Parada, or JC Jane. One of the two. Definitely not Indy Hartwell. And Gigi Dolan didn't do anything egregious to me, but Persia Prada and Jason James and Luka Cunic were most out of place.
All right. In my opinion. What was your spot of the night?
The spiral attack.
Okay. All right. I gave it to the assisted moonsault outside when he pushed him out.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah, it was.
That was good. But the spiral attack was something. That's an athletic feat. In series.
Do you have a low light of the card? Low light of the night?
I'm done picking on the ladies tonight, so I'm gonna bow out of this one because you know who it is. You know what it was.
Yeah.
I could fall asleep during that match. I hate to admit it. Anything, I don't like Dolph Ziggler, but he's a good performer. And like, if you want to be a heel, you're gonna make people hate you. And I don't like Dolph Ziggler, so I'm gonna bow out of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and give it to my phone falling. I'm gonna give it to the Grayson Waller and the LA Knight segment. I just didn't really care too much for it. I like Grayson Waller. I guess LA Knight will kind of have to grow on me. But I just didn't really care for the segment. It didn't really do anything to me. I was like, okay, next week we'll see his match, whatever, carry on. Like, it didn't really bother me.
Yeah, right.
But besides that, I mean, I thought it was all around a good card. There wasn't anything I could really pull to be like, wow, that was really bad. Nothing was egregious. Nothing was, I want to skip. I want to shut this off. Nothing was like that.
No, nothing like that tonight.
No, maybe next time we watch Elimination Chamber, maybe we'll be like, oh, okay, that was pretty bad. But who knows? All right, man. Final grade for the card.
It was a 3.6. I don't do halves or quarters, whatever. I round up. It was a 4.
4, I agree with you. 4 in the Legion.
Show.
Probably one of the better shows that we've reviewed since this year started.
I agree.
One of the better. Oh, yeah.
NXT
has a flavor to it, man.
Yeah, it does.
And put some more respect on that name.
It's not Emma Church. I thought it'd be Emma Church because it's their like daughter promotion. Not like a sister promotion.
It's like a developmental.
Yeah, but these guys are athletes.
Yeah, they
these
are.
These gals are athletes, man.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. All right, well, this has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. Make sure you find us on TikTok, Facebook group. I have people that message me on Facebook occasionally asking us to review certain things. We might do that. It just depends on what you ask us to do. We'll get around to it when we get to it. But yeah, dude, this has been sick. I love doing the show. I love watching this this special episode of Vengeance Day. It was a great card.
Vengeance Day, like Valentine's Day.
Except it's about vengeance instead of love.
Right. But revenge, not love.
And it'll be great to cover more than just 2002 content. Jump around and get out there. Make sure you do watch our 2002 content. We will be releasing the WrestleMania 18 episode, and that's what we're going to hold for a little bit. And we'll go back there and watch. You know, we'll revisit later on. But we'll release our WrestleMania 18. Make sure you listen to that. And then we're going to kind of jump around for a while. And, you know, we'll do episodes of Raw, episodes of SmackDown, ECW episodes. We'll move around. We'll depends on what we're feeling that day. But I can guarantee you, by the time this podcast ends one day, everything will be covered. Everything will be current. I promise that. I will make sure. If I have to spend 2 weeks, you know, after Laz is 86 and dead, and I'm just, you know, I'm 60 years old by then. If I have to spend 2 weeks just in my room, still in my two-bedroom apartment by myself, and I just have to watch episodes of Raw, and I'm just crying into the mic, just telling you how bad it was and how it used to be better. I will. But this has been the No Disqualifications Podcast. No rules.
No filter.
No disqualifications. My name is Adrian.
My name is Laz Hope.
Chica-chica. One love.